From WNYC, this is The Sporkful.
One of the best and most festive memories I have are my Christmases in Puerto Rico.
Christmas Eve was celebrated, and it was just amazing how everybody just gathered together to play dominoes, too, and drink lots of coquito. It had coconut, and the combination of spices gives it a real good kick.
Coquito is basically a Puerto Rican variation on eggnog. It's made with coconut milk, rum, cinnamon, and other spices. But as we learned when we put this show together, it's also a lot more than that.
It's a great time. More than anything, it's a great time. I think it's the centerpiece of our Christmas celebration.
That's George Torres. Before that, we heard from Tanya Lopez. More from both of them later. Now, I've never had coquito, so I wanted to find some real masters. As it happens, Harlem recently hosted the 13th annual Coquito Masters Competition. We talked to some of the competitors.
During this time of the year, you can talk to any Puerto Rican and you can ask them where's the coquito and they will pull it out of somewhere in their house. Debbie Quiñones, I'm also known as the Coquito Contestant, and I'm founder of Coquito Masters. How do you define a coquito? It's what people put into it, and I think they put love into it.
I have become the main coquito maker in my family. My name is Jose Stevenson, and I live in the Bronx, New York. I completely associate coquito with my godmother. It is one of my strongest connections to her, and especially, you know, when she was alive, I remember her teaching me how to make it, and after she passed away, it remained one of the ways to stay connected with her. And I feel like whenever I am making her recipe, I am making it with her.
From what I've gathered from competing, a good coquito is a good mix of everything. Everything, where you're tasting everything, but no one ingredient is overpowering you.
My name is Elaine Cruz. I go by the nickname as Chicky. I live in the Bronx. And my coquito goes by the name of Huepalicious. The word huepa is also very cultural to us Puerto Ricans, and it means like, you know, like, wow, fun, having a good time, huepa. So this is why I call it Huepalicious.
Coming up, we'll hear from more coquito masters, including the winner of the competition. Plus, I'll head up to the Bronx to visit the only distillery in America that's making Puerto Rican moonshine legally. And find out what happens when I pump some of your favorite WNYC hosts full of coquito and stick microphones in their faces. It's a Feliz Navidad indeed. Stay with us. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. With apologies for my pronunciations throughout this show, today we're talking about coquito, which, as I said, is basically like a Puerto Rican variation on eggnog. But there's also another drink you're going to be hearing about a lot today, pitoro, Puerto Rican moonshine. Now, back in the day, pitoro was the liquor everyone in Puerto Rico used in their coquito. Nowadays, most Puerto Ricans use rum, but there's a movement to bring pitoro back. Of course, because pitoro is moonshine, it's usually a backroom deal kind of thing. But there's one place in America that's making pitoro legally. Port Morris Distillery in the South Bronx was started 3 years ago by a couple of childhood friends from the projects. It's inside a nondescript warehouse, but as soon as you walk in the door, you see a whole wall painted in bright colors to look like a row of Caribbean-style homes. And this is the tasting room. They've got a bar set up with reclaimed wood and exposed metal. The whole thing's sort of like a hipster enclave in old San Juan. The actual distilling process happens in another room. We'll get to that in a minute. But we started at the bar, where co-owner Billy Valentin and I talked about pitoro and about how his grandma reacted when he told her he was making it.
It's our traditional way of drinking. Like, if you go to Puerto Rico and you go to somebody's house, they're not going to give you Bacardi. Most authentic is going to be pitoro. And pitoro is made in the mountains by a moonshiner. Somebody's family is making it in the backyard. When I started pitoro here, I tell her, Mom, you know, I'm doing pitoro. She was like, oh, my God. You know, that's against the law. Make sure the cops don't come here. You know, she's 80 years old, 79. I said, no, I'm doing it legally. She's like, oh, really? She says, bring me a bottle. So I take her bottle. My grandmother doesn't drink. As long as I'm alive, I'm 43 years old. I've never seen a drink. But I take it to her. And 2 weeks later, I go, you know, I'm back. And she gives me the bottle. And the bottle's like a black color inside. It has like a tint to it, really dark tint.
Liquid got darker.
Yeah, liquid got very dark. I said, what do you have in there? She says, well, I have raisins, I have prunes, and I have a stick of cinnamon. So I said, oh, let me taste it. And it tastes like a brandy. It tastes so delicious that we bring it here, and it became one of our hits, like instantly.
Did she ever try her own recipe?
Yes. Yes, that was the first time I saw her drink in front of me. You know,
it was, what was that like? Did you have a drink too? First time you had a drink with your grandma?
Yeah, it was. It was kind of surreal. It was cute, you know, because she's older, and she, you know, she took a little two shots, and I'm like, oh, okay. She's like, don't tell nobody. I'm like, no, I won't let nobody know, you know. So it was cute, and it was really nice.
So I think it's really interesting. Just, I mean, we're in the Bronx. You've got this, like, touch of Puerto Rico. You've got this, like, touch of sort of a hipster style to it. Like, who do you see as your target customer?
Everybody. We're not only catering to our culture. Our culture knows pitorro. They already know it. They're educated on it. We want everyone else that doesn't know what pitorro is to come in and enjoy what pitorro is.
And what type of alcohol is it?
It's made out of apples and honey. We're using New York State products. If you're in Puerto Rico, they're gonna be using the fruit that's in season, and then there's sugars.
So in Puerto Rico, it could taste different at different times of year.
Yes, every moonshiner is gonna have a different taste. You know, you'll have people going to the end of the island looking for the right pitorro, but that's only making the base. After the base is made and the mash is made and we put it to the distilling process, it comes out as a white alcohol.
That's one of your products. You call it Shine. We call it short for moonshine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's clear. It hasn't been aged. It hasn't been seasoned, essentially.
It hasn't been seasoned or infused. So so what somebody would do, they would take the Shine, they would take it home, and they would open it, put it in a gallon, and in that gallon, they would, let's say they'll put pineapple. They'll take a whole pineapple, and they'll cut the pineapple up. They'll put a pineapple inside, and they'll leave it sit. In our country, in Puerto Rico, they bury it, and they'll leave it buried till a special day comes. And when that special day comes, unbury it. Now they're drinking pineapple juice at 92 proof. It tastes amazing, but you don't taste how hard it is because it's already been infused for so long.
Can we walk around a little bit?
Absolutely.
This is Dan. I'm just jumping in here for a sec. So we moved into the area where they actually make the pitorro, and Billy showed me the old still they first used when they opened. He said it was modeled after the kinds used in the mountains of Puerto Rico. And he also showed me the new one. It's called the Christian Carl. That's the brand name. And I got to say, the Christian Carl is beautiful. It's got this big, bright copper tank with small, round windows and shiny tubes coming out of it, lots of cool-looking levers. It's sort of like what I would imagine Willy Wonka would use to make his moonshine. The old still needed 8 hours to make as much booze as the Christian Carl can make in 1 hour. But Billy has still got a soft spot for the old one. Back to the distillery.
So if I could just describe the difference. So the old still is sort of faded, silver color, but the whole thing is kind of janky looking.
If you say janky to somebody in the mountains, you probably won't walk out.
Did I just insult you?
No.
Okay, good.
Not me. Right, I went from janky to shiny.
Right. No, but looks like the idea of running a real distillery that's going to be producing large quantities of alcohol to become the size of a company that you want to become.
Right.
You're not going to be able to do it with that thing.
No. I can't do it with that.
It looks like it's seen. So where did this one come from?
I built it myself.
Oh, wow.
So I'm by trade a local 28 sheet metal worker. My partner is a manager for the New York City Housing Authority. When his uncle came, he kind of like started telling me how it looked, and I started drawing it down on paper. And after I drew it on paper, I said, is this kind of like what you're looking at? He's like, yep. And so I went back to the shop. And
well, I got to say, that's impressive for homemade, considering you would never, had you ever made a bottle of booze in your life?
Never. Did a test run on it, and it was love at first sight, you know, and that first drip that came out was, you know, it's just amazing.
So talk to me about the holidays and the role that Pitorro plays in holiday drinking.
Well, Pitorro originally, it was mostly sold from November to December. Once the holidays came, moonshiners were in full effect. You couldn't even find sugar in Puerto Rico. Like, the sugar was sold out everywhere because people were making their mash.
And Pitorro is traditionally the alcohol used in Coquito.
Yes. Coquito is traditionally made with Pitorro.
And am I right that there's also a tradition, like people come around, like they basically go caroling, sing songs?
Yes.
And if someone sings
Parandiano,
a song?
Paranda, yeah.
Paranda. And so what's the tradition? How does that work?
People go from house to house con la paranda, you know, with their Pitorro, and just in every house they'll pick up somebody else and continue the paranda all the way down. So, yeah, it's definitely a tradition.
But at each house, you drink a little Pitorro.
By the end of the paranda, you'll be drunk. But you can, let's buy by every second house. Or whoever has it.
Yeah. Right. So, last question. What song do I have to sing to get a taste of Pitorro?
Esta Navidad. Esta Navidad.
I don't know that
esta
one.
You got to do it. Está por la maceta, vamos a gozar.
Está por la maceta.
That's it. Oh, you got it.
All right, that's enough.
You got it.
I earned my taste.
You earned your taste. Absolutely.
Oh, I did drink, and it was delicious. In fact, I picked up a bottle of Pitorro infused to taste like Coquito, even though it's got no coconut milk in it. I'm going to bring that to the Sporkful Coquito Christmas party that we're throwing at the end of this show, the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, that's right, you heard me. Coming up, I'll round up some friends who've never had Coquito, and we'll sample several varieties. Even On the Media's Brooke Gladstone will stop by and catch me up on her recent trip to the Ebola hotspot of Liberia. Don't worry, we'll put her initials on her cup. And if that's not enough to get you to stick around, I give you a certified guarantee that I will not sing any more in this episode. Unless I drink too much Coquito at the party. Yeah, actually, now that I think about it, I'm not making any guarantees.
I make it the way my grandma used to make it back in the day. You know, I still have the little piece of the paper where she wrote the mix. I still have it, the little post-its. So I keep that in my desk, you know, and every year I pull it out, has egg on it, vanilla, and I still pull it out, and that's what I use. My name is John Alicea, and I live in Woodhaven, Queens.
Goes down smooth, and then, you know, you're drinking a cup, you might drink two cups, and then the next thing you go to get up, and you're done. My name is Jean Scales, and currently I live in the Bronx. And a friend of mine saw this on a website and says, you have to join, you can win this. And I went and I did the qualifier, and I won that. And then, lo and behold, here I am, and I won this. I can't believe it, I really can't. Actually, it's my grandmother Celia's recipe. And I have not wavered at all from it. I don't add anything different. I do exactly what she told me to do. And I'm not telling you what that is. Yo te traigo
esta bomba puertorriqueña. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. We just heard from a couple more people who were at the Coquito Masters competition in Harlem recently. And in just a minute, I get to taste the winning Coquito, so I'm excited for that. But first, I wanted to learn a bit more about how you actually make Coquito and the best way to drink it. So I invited a couple of experts into the studio. George Torres is the founder of Sofrito Media Group and the host of Radio Capicu on Blog Talk Radio. And Tanya Lopez is the creator of Coqui the Chef. She works to help kids and adults live a healthier lifestyle. And when they came in, the first thing I brought up was love. People keep telling me there's love in the Coquito. So I asked Tanya, how exactly do you put love in a drink?
It's the ambience and how you feel. And that's why it's good to do it once a year. Because if you do it all the time, the love is not going to be so much there. So if you do it once a year, it's all the love is there, all the ambience, the music, the you know, your family waiting for that drink to get done so they can drink it right away. It's like all that wonderful, you know, feelings that come with it.
Man, you're making me really thirsty.
There's a lot of rituals that are that way.
Nope. And yeah. George, what do you think about this idea that how can you tell if a coquito has been made with a lot of love?
It's the way it's presented to you. So in my house, you know, my aunt grabs the bottle. She cradles it like a baby, like you did before. And she says, you know, do you guys want coquito? And it's just that it's something about it. It's hard to put in words. In Puerto Rico, we say no traduce. It doesn't translate in words.
Mm. Let's talk a bit about exactly the best way to drink coquito. Ice or no ice, Tanya?
No ice. Nice and cold.
Cold but no ice.
Right.
So it should be chilled.
Yes.
George?
I agree with that 100%. I like to freeze mine. It doesn't freeze because of the alcohol content. Not that I have a lot of it, but, you know.
Not that he's done a lot of research.
but I like it slushy. So sometimes if my aunt will serve me, I'll kind of throw it in the freezer for a little while and let everybody else enjoy their coquito and kind of go back to it, and it gets a little slushy and whatever. So I like it.
Now, one of the coquitos we're going to try a few different ones in a minute. One of them is going to be the one that you made, Tanya, right?
Yes, I call it coquito light.
Why?
Because I use fresh milk, and I try to use things that have less sugar in them and, you know, and less cholesterol, that kind of thing.
Right. So it might not be quite as rich and decadent,
yes,
but it's probably the kind of thing that you could drink more of without feeling gross.
Yes, that's the secret.
And which is really important, because right now, as we have the dialogue about health in the community, specifically Puerto Ricans and Mexicans, more likely to have diabetes. People like Tanya are doing a lot of diligent work in the community to make sure that we are able to preserve the tradition but still do so in a healthier way. So,
do you have to use some form of dairy? Because I ask because one of the coquitos we're going to try today is from Port Morris Distillery. I think what it is coquito-flavored pitorro. You know, they bill it as coquito, and they're like, hey, it's dairy-free. And it is delicious, but is it coquito?
Coquito is a cream-based, obviously. It's white, it's milky, and whatnot. I think that the pitorro from the Port Morris Distillery is probably branded coquito because it's a brand that obviously would appeal to us.
So it's good marketing.
Oh, it's great marketing.
And, mm-hmm. and it may be delicious. It may be a delicious drink, but it may not be true coquito. Is that right, Tanya?
I have to try it.
Yeah, I think
I haven't tried that yet.
I think sampling is in order here.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Let's go, let's go.
All right. At this point, I wanted to share coquito with some more people who'd never had it before. So while Tanya and George hung out, I went wandering around WNYC looking for people to come to our Sporkful Coquito Christmas party. And, you know, you'd be amazed at how easy it is to get people to leave their desks and come running when you're waving bottles of free booze in the air. Try it in your office. Anyway, we had three varieties for people to taste. We had Gene Scales traditional coquito that won the contest in Harlem. We had Tanya's Coquito Light. And then we had the Port Morris Distillery Pitorro that's flavored like coquito. It's infused with coconut, cinnamon, other spices, but no dairy, no eggs. Well, pretty soon, the party was rocking.
All right. Well, I'll say I'm a very big fan of eggnog.
Andy Mills from Radiolab is mm-hmm. here. Have you ever had coquito?
Never. This is my first. The last few minutes, I've been downing these pretty quick. I think that they are like, I would say a cousin to the eggnog. I don't think that they're in a whole new genre. It's like its sassy cousin that came to town, and you're like, oh hey girl. Yeah, I would say I think it's amazing. I think it's really good.
What did you think about the pitorro? Did you try that?
Oh yeah, the straight. That's in my left hand. This is like what I'd like to have at home. Just like put an ice cube in. The end of a long day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not, you know, I don't have a girlfriend. I'm not married. I don't have kids. I have very few responsibilities. And,
you
know,
lucky you.
I know, I'm a lucky person. But I do have certain traditions. And like one of them is around this time of year, I have my Christmas lights set up in my apartment. I have a little fire escape. I make myself a cocktail. I play my favorite Christmas record, which is The Muppets Christmas featuring John Denver. I don't know if you guys have heard that record. It's a classic. I put that on, or Elvis Christmas. And I'll drink a little drink, sit on my fire escape, the glow of the Christmas lights. And I was thinking, like, this drink would do really well there.
Well, you heard that, ladies. Andy Mills, he's available. Yeah. How can you turn that down?
That's available. He's having a great time without you.
Hello.
All right, Brooke Gladstone from On the Media, welcome. So what do you think of the coquito?
It was a delicious balance. It had that quality that made you feel very powerfully that if you drank this, your heart would stop and you would die.
Now, Brooke, you
which is what you're looking for.
Right. Now, Brooke, you just recently got back from Liberia,
mm-hmm.
doing a tremendous show, a whole episode of On the Media.
Thank you for letting me into this party. I know I have my own cups. They're initial.
How often are they calling you about your temperature? You gotta keep check.
They call me once a day.
Right.
And they ask me about my temperature the night before and the temperature that morning. I'm feeling great. I've got no symptoms. I'm perfectly safe.
All right. Well, Brooke, cheers.
I'm glad I was able to brighten up the festivities. Bye.
Sean. Let's get Sean up here. Sean, Sean Ramos Farm.
Very nice.
Did
Nicely
I say that
done.
Correctly?
You did, Dan Pashman.
Sean.
Pashman?
That's how you pronounce that, Sean.
Can I get a refill while I'm here?
Yeah, take a refill.
Sure,
come on up,
ahead.
Buddy. Yeah. Sean hosts a podcast called Sideshow, which is sort of part of the Studio 360 family here at WNYC, a great podcast called Sideshow.
Thank you.
That's the lower fat
That's
one.
The low fat? Okay, yeah. So this is the best one. Is that okay?
That's Tanya.
Am I offending anyone?
No, that's the one Tanya made.
Great.
That's
mine.
No, I love it. It's sweet, and it just tastes like Christmas, but it's not too sweet. And it's light, you know? Like, I could drink, like, a bunch of cups of this.
Right. That's the key. No, but Tanya, I have actually a semi-serious question for you. So when they invented light cigarettes, what they found was that people just smoked more cigarettes. Your coquito is delicious. I love it. And it is lighter. And I could drink more of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if I drink twice as many, am I eliminating the health benefits?
Well, that's when you have to learn self-control.
Oh,
you
self-control.
Know? Yeah, you know, too much of anything is bad for you.
That's right. All things in moderation, including moderation.
There you
and
go.
Nothing says the holidays like self-control, right, guys?
George Torres, my guest here today, is the founder of Sofrito Media Group. He also hosts Radio Capicu on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks, George.
You're very welcome.
And Tanya Lopez, creator of Koki the Chef, who brought her own less fattening but no less delicious, and many said more delicious, version of coquito. Thank you very much, Tanya.
It was a pleasure. I had lots of fun. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, guys, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thank
Merry
you.
Christmas.
Thank
Feliz
you.
Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. Woo!
We should sing Parranda.
Okay, right? Feliz Navidad. Everybody knows that.
No, we have to sing something more like, Alegre vengo de la montaña.
Oh, wait, you go ahead, because I don't remember the words.
Y a mis amigos les traigo flores de las mejores de mi rosa.
¡Wepa!
A mis amigos les traigo flores de las mejores de mi rosa.
My thoughts on the coquito tasting, they were all delicious. The old school one was, I mean, really decadent, with more spices than in a traditional eggnog. Lots of cinnamon, lots of nutmeg. Tanya's lighter one was definitely lighter, but still plenty rich. And the coconut-flavored Pitoro, by liquor standards, it was very sweet. By coquito standards, it was very strong. So I actually decided that the money move was to take Tanya's light coquito and add a splash of that Pitoro. And that got a little more kick in there. Damn, that was good. Now, if you want to make Tanya's coquito at home, she was nice enough to share the recipe with us. It's up now at Sporkful.com. And we have lots of other great holiday fun at Sporkful.com, including a video where I show you how to find deliciousness in air travel. Helpful for those of you flying this holiday season. Do you know that when you're in an airplane, your taste buds are 30% less sensitive? Well, watch this video. It'll help you fight back against blandness. And next week on The Sporkful, we'll ring in the new year. I'll tell you what food I resolve to eat more of in the new year. And Slate's L.V. Anderson and I'll debate which is better for a hangover, home fries or hash browns. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani. Our web writers are Talia Ralph and Alight Trong. Special thanks to Chris Bannon. And thanks to all our WNYC friends who came to drink coquito with us, including some you didn't hear from in the show. Manoush Zamarodi from New Tech City, Anna Sale from Death, Sex, and Money, the great Leonard Lopate, all our friends from The Takeaway, and many more. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad, one and all. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better. Huepa!